guys.
You're listening to Mama Knows Podcast with your host, Nina Cavagiola, a.k.a. Balconina. Join in weekly as she walks alongside you to navigate topics around motherhood, mental health, self-love, and relationships. The good, bad, and funny.
Super excited about this episode you will be listening to today. I am talking to Brittany and Ryan Ostafy of the Laughing Couple podcast. One of my favorite podcasts. If you don't listen, make sure you check them out. They're a married couple. Actually, Brittany and I were friends before any of this through social media. They are a married couple who also works from home, have multiple businesses, and do it all together. We are talking about how hard it is to work with your spouse, things that we've changed, things that we want to change, and Brittany and Ryan give us all the advice. Let's jump in.
Did you guys see the questions?
Brian hasn't.
No. I just said to Brittany, I'm like, what are we talking about? She's like, don't worry. Just deal
I literally just showed them to Tom and he was like, whatever, okay.
So here's the best part about this. A couple podcasts ago, and I'm not going to get into the details of it, but we were not prepared for it. And not only were we not prepared for it because it was an 11th hour kind of podcast, we had had dinner and some cocktails, and I was not prepared for it at all. And so Brittany's like, don't worry, I've got this. I know exactly how this thing's going to go. So I'm like, all right, cool. And we have video evidence of her saying this to me. And at the end of the podcast, she looks at me, she's like, I totally carried that entire podcast. I'm like, yeah, you said you were going to.
Okay, but it's like talking to a door. Like, you need to give me something.
I'm the door.
Tom is the door, always.
I hear you, man. Tom, listen, like, we understand we're not the talent. We just show up. We show up and we like cheer. We're big cheerleaders.
Yeah, so that's actually what our episode's going to be about today is we're going to talk about cheerleaders. Okay, so Brittany and I were texting, just to give Ryan and Tom some context here, because they just showed up. They're just the cute faces today. We were texting, and I was like,
that was nice of her.
I was bitching about how hard it is to work with Tom, and how hard it is, like, in the first year to just, like, get this, like, our marriage feels like it's suffering. I feel like I'm just not appreciated, because I'm the talent, okay? And he quit his job and it's just like a stay-at-home husband / like whatever. So to me, I was like bitching about it to Brittany and I was like, when does it get easier? And Brittany was like, girl, I got a lot to say about this. So I was like, we
new
friends like, what do you mean?
News to Ryan.
Yeah.
So
I know.
I'm looking forward to this podcast. Let me just tell
it's
you.
It's not a surprise. It's not a surprise. We've talked about this multiple times.
And we're going to talk about like, what is it like to work with your spouse? Like not only as like a married couple, like how do you nurture your relationship through that? Mm-hmm. How do you nurture your family through it? How do you nurture your business through it? And then how do you respect each other's status in the business that you're in? Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to talk about this. I have a feeling there's going to be, I've seen you guys argue on your podcast. Tom and I just got into an argument 5 minutes ago. So this is going to be hot shit.
Well, at least we look coordinated.
Hot shit summer. Yeah.
I look like Halloween. So
that's fine.
Well, it's probably the best holiday. Think about it.
It is. Right?
I'm on board.
We've had this discussion a lot because I mean, Ryan and I have been podcasting now for 3 years and there's been many times where we're like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like there's weeks where maybe we're just feeling off or we're not connected. And like the last thing we want to do is podcast. And it always takes like one person in that space to be like, no, excuse you. It is not always you. It is sometimes me, but more often not than yes, it's Ryan. But it's hard to get out of that space. But for some reason, when you do podcasts, it's almost like you have to leave a lot of that shit, like, at the door, but we do bring it up authentically and we work out our problems through the podcast. Cause it's almost like a little bit of pressure, like because you're recording, you're kind of like, okay, let's not just get in a fight for the sake of getting in a fight. Like, let's work through this, because when we do fight on our podcast, it's like, it is helpful. And that does sound weird, because people write us and they're not like,
fight. We don't fight on the podcast. Well, we have disagree.
Yeah. We have disagreements podcast. And like,
and we use adult communication to get through our disagreements.
Yeah. But not all, like, offline, it's not. Like, sometimes we're just angry, but we tend to use the podcast as a little bit of like a safety net to be like, this is a safe place. We have to be effective in our communication, or there's just no point.
So I want to be clear with your audience. Are you asking us for advice or our experience?
So I have,
yes.
So I have a list of questions. Okay. So first of all, I want you to give a little bit of background. Like, what is your work? I know what Brittany does, but can you guys just tell my listeners, like, what do you do? How are you even working together? What's your job?
We do a lot of things. So me specifically, right at the beginning of the pandemic, we started our own company. Actually, I gave notice at the business that I was at, and 4 days later, the world shut down. So that was a little scary. But we run a traditional business. We're in the freight and transportation industry. Or have been in the freight and transportation industry for some time. We started a podcast together as a way of bridging the gap, because Brittany was doing her boss Diffy thing. I was doing the corporate business thing. And we were both growing and expanding, but we were not growing and expanding together.
Parallel.
It was parallel. Like, we always had the same goals and intentions and desires and dreams for our family. We were doing it in two different paths that were parallel with each other. And so we use the podcast as a platform for us to connect together, to create together. So like that there was always
a relationship.
Yeah. So there was exactly what it is. It was a creationship. It's like, let's do something together so that all the stuff that we're doing apart kind of bleeds into it. And then that turned into a media company, which now Brittany and I run and manage, as well as the podcast. So there's the social channels, there's the media company, there's the traditional business that we own. And then we're in the process of starting a new little project as well.
So, like, why not?
You guys are literally doing so much. We're over here just trying to balance like 1.5 things. And I'm so like, I'm proud of you, first of all, because I've been with Brittany from the beginning. And mm-hmm. Ryan, congrats. I didn't know you were doing all that shit on the side.
Yeah.
See, I'm just the guy that shows up that everyone thinks is just.
That's not true nothing. At all. Ryan loves.
There's to video evidence that says otherwise.
Ryan spends, 10 to 12 hours a day working, but he doesn't actually do anything of substance. I'm kidding.
Ryan does love the socials, because he's a very creative person. Like, people are always like, oh, does she like make you do when we do like funny spoofs? Like, absolutely not. Nope. Ryan's like, oh, I have an idea. I'm like, okay.
You know what I will say, and I commend you, and you and Brittany, acknowledge both of you, doing what you've done has created a space where you can generate income in a non-traditional fashion. I think we as human beings, we go the direction that is given to us, or at least led to us.
Especially Nina. Like, Nina comes from healthcare. Like, she's a nurse. So this is like, are you going back or are you part-time right now?
I work one day a week because I'm not like ready to give it up.
Yeah.
I'm not like making any money working one day a week, because our, health insurance ain't free over here in the US of A.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a very commendable thing, though. And it's also terrifying, because you have a traditional sense of this is your job, this is your acceptable career. And like, if you're asking like, hey, what do you do? I still struggle with being like, I'm in marketing. That's what I don't say. I'm never like, I'm in social media, because people are like, oh, okay.
Well, difficult. And what I was getting at was the two of you have stepped out into the unknown, called the abyss, knowing that the world of traditional, this is the path that you take, especially considering you're in the healthcare industry or were in the healthcare industry. It's difficult to do that. You got your friends, you got your family, you got your colleagues, people who know you in the box that they know you in, all of a sudden see you in this different light. And like, the question becomes like, who do you think you are trying to do this? And so the idea that you guys did this out of nothingness and have created a business as a result of it, it's opened up my eyes to be like, maybe traditional business, 9-to-5, sweat equity, stress, all of the stuff that we put on ourselves, maybe there's another way of doing it. And every time I get to step into your world or the two of yours worlds and play, it's like, I feel like I'm playing. Mm-hmm. And it's the one thing that I look forward to. It's not the one thing. I do love what I do, but it's the thing that I look forward to the most. It's like, how do we be creative? How do we have fun? How do we entertain each other? And then in turn, entertain a community of people who seem to enjoy what it is that we do. And in a perfect world, I would stop doing everything that I was doing and focus in on this stuff. But my mind is still so business oriented that it's hard for me to make that transition.
It's interesting because I feel like Tom's perspective is almost opposite of Ryan's, don't you think? Because Tom's not a creative person as far as like wanting to be on the on camera. I have to ask him to.
He's
like,
good though. He's good on the camera.
And do you want to kind of like give a little background and what your plans are now? Because he originally came to work with me, but now things are shifting a little bit for him and he's kind of doing like going back into that business world.
Mm-hmm. Well, when we originally talked it, like it just didn't make sense for me to be getting up so early in the morning to go to the gym, to then work and drive all the way, drive back, be gone 10, 12 hours a day to literally make enough money to do what it would be if I were to help her just advance mm-hmm. with her job and do more behind the scenes stuff. That's what I was originally going into. And we had talked like, yeah, would you be willing to like come on the camera more, come on the podcast? Is that, yeah, absolutely. I'd be willing to do it. We never really discussed like a partnership with it or like mm-hmm. a whole lot more. So then when it became, okay, now you're home, you're here, you're doing this. Yeah, can you help me do this? Can you help me do this? Yeah, of course, let's do this. I'm all in. Then it became time, okay, well, you need a hobby. Well, my hobbies have just been work. Mm-hmm. So that was construction. So what does that look like? Okay, well, a hobby with construction, there isn't that. But oh, wait, there's a way to make money or have a business with that. So mm-hmm. I started to get into real estate now. And so now that's more of a direction I'm going. And I feel like that was a pretty mutual thing. You said, let's get you your own thing as well. And now, I mean, it could go either way. It could be very involved. It could be not as involved. And I think we still need to lock down how involved I get with that and or like my personal presence, because it can be more passive than it has been so far.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you, Brittany, specifically, I guess Brian or Ryan too, I'm sorry. Did you ever feel like sometimes your business, so you're both starting a business at the same time, kind of, right? So it's mm-hmm. it's a little different for you guys. I guess I felt like I already have this super successful business. I'm retiring Tom. Quote unquote. He's gets to quit his job. And like, sometimes I have felt like I'm just doing it and he doesn't feel as passionate about my business as mm-hmm. I feel. Do you, because you both have your own businesses and you're doing a lot together, do you ever feel like the other doesn't really understand and or appreciate some of the things you do for your business?
I think it's a lot because when Ryan is a great businessman, like he has his own stuff that I know nothing about. Like, and then because Ryan has dabbled into like my world, sometimes we get into not like arguments, or maybe it's just like a learning process where like we'll get on a briefing call. Right. And I kind of have been on these so many times, but Ryan's new to these. So he'll ask questions where I'm like, they won't know the answer to that. Or like, I already know the answer. So it's kind of a learning curve. And I don't know if he's like, it's not necessarily he doesn't respect it. It's just, he's also learning. So I have to have some patience with that. It would be like, if I stepped in his world and I would be like, well, I know this better because I'm the creative type. Like we're both very creative and we are competitive. And so when we do work together in that blend, we often it can get a little spicy because we both are like very like, I want to be the director. This is what we're doing. I know best. Where Ryan's like, actually, I know what I'm doing. And it's hard because we're both very strong personalities in that space. So we've tried really hard to kind of like leave room for conversation, like within that, right? Like, and to be completely honest, it is mostly me trying to control everything because I've been in the space for so long. But like tapping to back, he has great ideas, like great ideas. Sometimes they suck, but a lot of them are great. And I need to give space and to not think that I know everything, because there's been times where I'm like, oh my God, that was so good. And I would have never, ever thought about that. We just heard a quote the other day that said, don't judge me. It was actually Matt Damon. Don't judge me on my terrible ideas. Like, judge me on my good ideas. Like, I might have a terrible idea, but now you have this listening of me. Like, don't judge me on my terrible ideas. Like, judge me on my good ones. And I'm like, that's so true, because it's so easy to just write somebody off and be like, that was a stupid, stupid idea. And then you don't give them the time of day. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I heard a quote the other days, and this was for entrepreneurs, people who own their own businesses. It was, you don't hire people to grow your business. You hire people to give back your time. So your business is always going to be your business. It's always going to be your passion. It's always going to be your baby. You'll never have someone that is invested in the outcome as much as you are invested in the outcome. You have to understand that, get it, and recognize that when you bring somebody on, that person is designed to take away certain things from you so that you can focus on your core competencies. What is it that lights you up? What is it that makes you happy? What is it that you're the best at? Because all of the other stuff that needs to happen in your business takes a lot of your energy and sucks a lot of your energy. You can hire someone for that work. Focus on what it is that you do, and your business will grow and expand. But to expect that person who isn't you, who didn't create what you created, to have as much passion as you, it's not factual. It's never going to be what it is that you want it to be. And if it is, then they'd be doing it themselves.
Yeah. I think that's really important to note, because sometimes I get in my head, I'm like, I just want others to feel this passion about this job of mine. And that's kind of a big expectation, right? Especially when someone isn't in that kind of niche to begin with. So you've been working together for a few years now. What is the hardest thing about working together as a married couple? I mean, you're together all the time. What is the hardest thing that you've encountered so far?
I think we'll say different things here.
Ooh, very interested. Well, you can go first.
We always talk about having a background of relatedness. And what a background of relatedness is a set of rules, which we call our conditions of satisfaction. And inside those rules, this is like, in this space, I am this to you and you are this to me. But that is not who I am over here. Over here, I am your husband. Over here, I am your partner. Over here, I am your, you know, the father of your children. Over here, I am your lover. To be your business partner, and this is what you can rely on me for, this is what I can rely on you for in this business and in this section, and then let's turn that off, and over here, this is who you can rely on me for, and this is who you can rely on, and I can rely on you for. Being able to separate those and say, in this space, we are this, and in this space, we are this, they don't blend. That is the hardest challenge for us. And I will say the reason it's the hardest is because it's very difficult not to bring business into every conversation that we have. And so it's like, wait a second, we're not in business right now. We're not doing anything for business right now. We need to focus on ourselves. We need to focus on our needs, our wants, our desires as human beings, not as business owners, entrepreneurs, you know, business partners. And it's turning the business off, because the business is the leading conversation we have for everything, because we spend 10 hours a day doing it. To not transfer that into a conversation at dinner time, or not to transfer that conversation in at 9 o'clock
or something. Yeah.
It's very difficult. And it's like, well, no, let's pull back the reins here. This is not about business. This is about us. So I would say that's the biggest challenge for me, is turning the business mind off and being the husband that I need to be when I need to be the husband.
And to kind of piggyback on that, I think that also goes both ways. Like, say you have something you need to do for business, but you guys, like in your personal life, we got in an argument. It's hard to be like, let's compartmentalize this fight, because we need to prioritize this. Like, we're human beings. So you're not going to really work efficiently if like you just got in this argument 10 seconds ago. Like, you're still husband and wife, and you guys are probably processing this because you're defining your roles. Like, Tom is in a new role, right? And so he's like, okay, I'm kind of creating this role with you, Nina, like, what do you need? But also, like, I'm still your husband and I'm learning, so, like, in a space that I didn't know really what to do before. Right. So I think you guys just have to give each other grace too, because it's hard. Like, shit, there's been times where we're like, ugh. And like, very simple, Ryan, he has an office in the basement, right? So he has like a little space for himself. Like, this is him. This is where he works, where I probably, like you, Nina, work upstairs in the kitchen, in the living room. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like editing or something and Ryan will come up, and we've talked about this before, and he's really good now because we've had a conversation, but he'll just start talking. Like, say he had like a shitty meeting or something. And I'm like, I actually am not listening right now. Like, I don't have the time to listen to you because I'm in the middle of working. And so now he's like, do you have a second? Like, we have that communication where I'm like, yes or no. Like, do you know what I mean? Where I'm like, just because I'm here doesn't mean I'm available. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Yeah. The problem with that, maybe Tom, maybe you can understand this, is Brittany will be editing and she'll be working while watching Vanderpump Rules. And so when I come upstairs, I'm confused because mm-hmm. I hear Vanderpump Rules. I see her on her phone, and it's common for all of us to be searching the internet and doing our thing while watching TV at the same time. So it doesn't look to me that she's working, and I'm used to coming upstairs and being able to talk to whoever's up there not working. So that happens
all the time. That, like, I'll watch it if I'm, you know, on my lunch break, or maybe I'm waiting for something to upload, or something comes up, and like, you get this all the time. Like, a brand is like, hey, I need you to do this right now, or this is pressing. And then I'm like, yeah. Oh shit.
There are some struggles because we both work from home, right? Yeah. And so I think the biggest struggle for me working from home is that I never leave my office, but I'm never at my office, if that makes mm-hmm. any sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting that you brought up the whole, like, Brittany's watching TV while she's working. So our kids come home around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, which for a typical workday is early, right? Like, typically people work till five, and my management is 2 hours behind me. So, like, they're still working for 2 more hours, and they'll, like, request things from me for brand deals. And I'll still, like, my kids will be home, and I know, like, the goal is to be shut off at 4, but sometimes that's just not realistic. And I'll be on my phone. Like, last night I had to submit a campaign. I had to submit this, and then I'm on my phone, so I could see on the outside, it looks like I'm just on my phone. I'm right. doing whatever, but I'm literally, like, busting my ass to get stuff done. So I think that's the tricky part with our job, Brittany, is that we can be on our phone. Like, I usually do not use my phone for enjoyment. Unless it's like at night in bed to, like, scroll TikTok. Usually if I'm on my phone, I'm answering DMs, I'm answering comments, I'm in my emails, I'm talking to my manager. So it's hard for me to explain that to other people, and that usually, like, the typical person usually just uses their phone for enjoyment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't usually consume. I always feel so bad when my friend's like, did you see my Instagram story? Like, you know what's going on. I'm like,
no,
I don't, if I'm on my phone, I'm not consuming, because it's just, like, such a huge part of my life. I want to put it down. I don't want to be there anymore. But we often do this where there are days where I'm like, when you finish, it's going to be like, here's the baton. I have 2 hours, an hour, whatever, because, like, my management is an hour behind as well. So I'm like, Rye, when you come up, like, I'm literally going to say, I need to go down. And then he takes over. And those days are tough because it just feels like passing ships. And then by like 9:30, we're like, Ryan's really great. But if I sit on the couch, I'm like, I'm done. Like, I will be asleep in like 3 seconds. But we miss the opportunity to hang out. And we also have seen each other throughout the day. So it's just like, it's hard. Like, it's a, we're constantly learning. We are constantly trying to make time for each other outside of the business, outside of the family. But
I mean, how long did it take for you to get used to being at home together all the time? Because this is one thing I talked to my therapist about, is like, sometimes it just having someone in my space where I used to just be by myself to create is really annoying. Mm-hmm. So we've actually, he's moved himself down to the basement, so we don't have to see each other as much. And it's not that I don't want to see him, but like, I just get out of my
space. You're in your zone
right now. How long did it take for you to get used to that? And then what have you had to do to shift, whether it was bad or good?
We have
it. I don't feel like we've even gotten used to it. Like, I still don't want to work when Ryan's upstairs. Like, if he's coming up for lunch, I'm like, can you eat in the basement? Because I'm either like filming or I'm in a space, and I feel bad because I'm just like, I know this is your space too, but I don't have an office.
Basement's cold. I just want to eat a warm meal.
We're still figuring it out. Yeah.
No, I would say for us, what we've done successfully, and I would say what we're still working on doing more efficiently is checking in with each other.
Mm-hmm.
We will realize and recognize that there's tension where there doesn't need to be tension. And like, even Brittany today, this morning, as early as this morning, said to me, like, I miss you.
Mm-hmm.
That to me was, okay, it's time for a check-in. So I've been working really hard. She's been working really hard. The idea of her saying, I miss you, has been replaces frustration. So what we would normally have been doing would be creating some tension between each other. Now,
looking at stupid shit, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's compounding that wouldn't, like, there is the tensions coming from somewhere else. And at the end of the day, when we do fight and we do have those, like, it's likely because we're just not communicating and we miss each other. So we've really learned to be like, I miss you.
Yeah. What's at the core here is we're not connecting and we miss each other. And so we call that out.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we call that out, then we can have a conversation of where we're ineffective. The big thing for us, and the biggest shift I think that happened in the last 3 years, is we recognize that there's no morality around our disagreements. There's just ineffectiveness. And ineffectiveness is something you can work on. Morality is a make wrong. So if I'm being told that what I'm doing isn't right, I'm going to defend that position. If she's being told what she's doing isn't right, she's going to defend that position. When in reality, neither of us have the capability or capacity to know what is right and what is wrong in a relationship. What we know is feelings. And what we know about our feelings is that our feelings aren't the way we want them to be. So there's an inefficiency in our relationship. Let's talk about what that is. And that could look like we're in each other's space too much. That could look like we're passing ships. There's a lot of things that cause anger and frustration, but at the core of it, it's neither her nor I. I love my wife. She loves me. I respect her. She respects me. As long as those two foundational ways of being are still there, everything's just about efficiency or inefficiency. And mm-hmm. we kind of work from that.
How do you guys plan your weeks since you're together? And then you dabble in all the businesses, Ryan. Brittany, I don't know. Do you do anything for Ryan's business?
Definitely not in the freight, but in our media company, yes-ish. I honestly don't have the capacity to take that on. Like, I'm more of maybe like a creative consultant in things, yeah. But like, I just don't have the time to do that. And then the new one, again, maybe just consulting in the social media world, but,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, like those are Ryan's. And that's another thing. Like, he's got juggling so much. I have a full-time job, but because Ryan is, and this is always a fun game for, couples, who's busier, right? Like, everyone just always fighting about who's the busiest and who's more tired. I've had to like pick up where the parenting is, right? Like, Ryan literally last night, he worked till 12:30 because he had stuff that he was finishing. So then I have to pick up the bucket of mom and like school, like let's organize all of this. But that's been a struggle for us because I haven't worked this much in our relationship. Like, the last couple of years is the most I've ever worked. So I would take care of all of those things before. And now I'm like, bro, I can't do both. Like, I need some help. And he's like, I don't know where to find the time. So it's hard. We're still figuring it out.
So back to my question about how you plan your week. So do you guys, so what? this is what we're trying really hard to figure out. So like, you say, Brittany, you're creating content and you need Ryan for certain content that you're creating. How do you like voice that to him? How do you communicate it?
She puts it in my calendar.
We have a calendar that's shared. And I say, are you available between this bracket and this bracket? And he says yes or no. And then I block it in. And now he knows from 10 to 11, like right on Wednesdays, we actually have from 10 to 12. We have social media. So whether that looks like podcasting, whether that looks like we need to brainstorm or workshop something, whether that it's in like our other social space, those 2 hours are kind of like open for discussion within the world of social media. That's only like, that's the only consistent thing. And Nina, you probably struggle with this. Like I'll plan my week and then the brands are like, nope, we need this. Deadlines change, then things compound and it snowballs. And then that stresses me out because I can't plan my week when I don't actually have control over that. So we do our best, but you got to adapt.
Yeah. The idea is if you have an open calendar, you have a filled calendar, you just don't have control over it. So for us, the big thing, because there's always life, there's always things to happen. And for us, what it is like Brittany and her space and our space and the things we're doing together, that is a priority to me. So when Brittany requests time, I check my calendar. If it's open, she fills it. And then anybody who wants my time, energy, or effort during that period of time, it's just not available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How has your marriage changed, whether it's good or bad, since you've become business partners in all areas?
I wouldn't say neither good nor bad, just different. Mm-hmm. When you are creating something together and you guys are both passionate about it, it creates a connection and a bond that just wasn't there prior to. Mm-hmm. What it's done for us is it's like so many people get caught, so many couples get caught in, we are parents and we are workers. So we work and we parent, we work and we parent, we work and we parent. And so much of the relationship with the couples get like broken apart, that they lose their identity. When you work with your partner, there's another layer there, but because you're doing it together, there's a bond that's being built and generated from there. So yeah, there's a struggle, and yes, we miss the connection and the bond and the normal intimacy kind of things, because sometimes we push that aside for business. That is a struggle for us. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, because we're creating something together, it's another layer of commitment. So you've got your marriage vows, you know, you've got your roles, responsibilities with your kids. But when you layer business into there, it's hard to be on things for a long period of time. So it's really allowed us, if we want to be successful at it, to communicate effectively. So that would be the biggest thing, is our communication is skyrocketing because of it.
I think that a lot of that has to do with the podcast too. Like we say, like we've literally worked out our disagreements on the podcast because we made a commitment to it and it's helped, but it's been hard.
I can attest to that. I recently started doing some like blogging and I find it so much hard. Like when I'm with my kids, I want to like scream and freak out and yell and like take like, you know, do all the things I would normally
do. Lots of agreement like, happening behind you.
The camera. Yeah. This is my door apparently today. So the camera's on and it's recording and I'm like, shit, keep it together, like figure it out. So I can attest to that. Like, I feel like it almost makes you pause. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like we are on record here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Brittany, you are extremely passionate about what you're doing. You're very creative. I don't know. Maybe this is an assumption. I doubt you're as passionate about the fright stuff as you are about your career in social media. So my question to Ryan is, because you have all these different hats, but the fright is like all yours. Brittany's not as passionate about it. How do you feel? What does she do that makes you feel supported in that business? Or do you feel like she doesn't understand it? Because that's where we're trying to like figure it out right now. He's doing his business thing. I want to support him, but like, it's just like a baby business right now. So it's hard for me to put all my like passions into what he's doing, if that makes sense. So what does she do?
I don't need, the thing is, I don't need Brittany to be involved in the business. With all due respect to Brittany, she has no industry knowledge of the business. So to bring her in and be like, hey, let's be co-partners on a business you know nothing about, it doesn't make sense for me. And it's nice that I have a space that I can zero in on, that I can create and do that. For me, what it really comes down to is not every day is easy. And so where Brittany is most supportive is she gives me an outlet to have conversations that are hard. Mm-hmm. When I'm dealing with people, because when you own a business and you run a business, the hardest part is humans. And so I'll receive an email or I'll receive a text and I'll read it through the listening that I have of that person in that moment. And I bring my emotion to it. while I go to Brittany and I'm like, hey, am I reading this correctly? And her answer is like, no, you're not. It's just an answer, and, you know, respond to it accordingly. So that for me is really huge. My business is more structured in terms of time. So where Brittany is like of most benefit is her schedule is a little bit more flexible than mine. So when I have hard starts and hard stops, she's there for the kids. Mm-hmm. And that for me, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing if it wasn't for the fact that she's there during my like set schedules.
Mm-hmm. That's important to have those boundaries for each other. And I love that she's able to support you in that business. I guess we'll have to figure that one out, right? Like,
well, see, I mean, support and being involved are two different things, like emotional, mm-hmm. like verbal, like support, like, yeah, that's great. You can do this, you could do that, talking through things, 100%. But I the way the question was kind of worded to me, it was like, is Brittany involved? And you asked if Ryan felt she was passionate about it. And mm-hmm. that's not what I'm not looking for you to be passionate about it or involved. It's just respect. And I'm not saying you don't get me wrong.
Well, my question mm-hmm. to Ryan was, what does Brittany do to make you feel supported so you can mm-hmm. run this business? Yeah. I guess maybe.
When Ryan initially started this, I'm not gonna lie, it was scary because it was like, as two entrepreneurs, we don't have a like safety net, right? So for you to like pursue something, we were like, I was a little nervous, and he said that before. And it was more just having this trust in him and in his business mind that I was like, okay, I don't know what I don't know, but I know that I do trust you. So to have that, like, just if you need me here for support emotionally, whatever, but I do trust you, right? So it's hard because you're scared at the same time, you're taking a step out of your comfort zone, but maybe just giving your partner that grace of trust is huge. I think, like, when I started social media, Ryan was like, you need to make a decision. You have a foot in so many doors. Do I want to be a teacher? Do I want to do the art curriculum? Do I want to do social media? He's like, you're great at all of them, but you're not picking one. So you're like, you're just floating. So he was like, I trust you're going to be incredible in this space, but you do have to take a leap. And I was kind of like, okay, like, shit or get off the pot. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, kind of the same.
I think men, to answer the question very clearly across the board, not to paint it with the same brush, but I'm going to, it's a big brush. Men are very simple. Right. Men are very simple. We need respect and we need trust. If you trust us and you respect us, we will do anything and everything all day, every day to support our family. If there's no trust and there's no respect, then resentment starts to set in. And it's just a slippery slope from there.
So Tom and I are newbies at this. We haven't even been working together for a year, and we don't even like fully work together like you guys do. We're still figuring it out. What is your biggest piece of advice for us right now that will help us succeed in our marriage and business together?
Conditions of satisfaction.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say that too. That's the biggest thing for us. And it can be seen in so many avenues. It can be seen as something as simple as I have a load of laundry. Yesterday I had Cooper's laundry on the floor. And in the past, I'd be like, well, this is here. So I like, it'd be great if he could help me with this. And that's in my brain, right? Where now
in my brain, it's like, doop,
doop, doop, yeah, like, cause Ryan's very like tunnel vision, right? He's like, I'm going to go from A to B. I'm not purposely ignoring these things. This is just like, I have a mission and it doesn't include noticing this laundry.
So mental mother load is what that's called. Like
100%.
I don't understand. It has to be in the biology of a man.
Yes.
Because how does a woman constantly have all these thoughts and the man can just literally look past it? Like it doesn't.
I'm jealous, to be honest. Like I wish.
Like I'm over here, like my kids aren't playing any sports and they're worse. And Tom's like, they're fine. Okay.
Yeah, I know. But I think so today I was like, hey, I'm going out. I was leaving with my mom. Said, are you able to put this laundry away? Right. And Ryan's like, yes, I can. Right. Or there's been times where I'm like, where his conditions of satisfaction are, no, I'm not able to do this tonight, but I can probably fit it in tomorrow, whatever. Right. So then we kind of hold each other accountable to these things. And then I'm not going to be upset if I expected something but didn't ask for it. And this has been a little hard for me because part of me is like, I don't want to have to ask. Right. Mm-hmm. And that is literally a conversation that we've had so many times. But at the end of the day, like, it's really easy for me to just be like, can you do this? Right. And then he's like, yes or no. And like, say he says yes and then doesn't do it, then we have to have a conversation because I'm like, you committed to this. This was conditions. And that has happened. Like, yeah. 100% it's happened. But they're conversations. I'm not trying to make him wrong. Like, shit happens all the time, right?
I've literally had so many therapists and experts on my podcast, and every single one of them says, you just have to ask for what you want. It is not wrong. Hard. It is hard because sometimes hard. I just want him to also like know and just do it.
However,
how do you like, Tom doesn't do it. You're not good at what? Saying, can you do this? Will you please do this? Like, he doesn't. Yeah. And then I don't know if you resent me for it later, but like, how am I supposed to know you wanted me to get up with the kids, blah, 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 because you were struggling. And unless you came into the room and said, I'm really struggling, can you get up and come help me? Like, you don't do that. So do you, Ryan? Like, how do you ask?
The reality of it is you only get upset for three reasons. You wanted something and it didn't happen. You expected something and it didn't happen. Something happened and you didn't communicate it. All three of those are you. You're responsible for it. So you're responsible for being upset or not being upset. I choose to not get upset about things. So the only way that I can do that is to verbalize what I want and or what I expect. And if something doesn't happen, I communicate that it didn't happen. That seems to be the secret sauce of our relationship. It's like,
but like, it sounds so easy, but honestly, like, it takes so much and it's consistent work. Like, there are things where like, there are certain things that I know that like, we've talked about it enough that I'm like, okay, this is a trigger for Ryan or vice versa. Where if like, he'll do like, we've talked about this before. I really do not like waking up to having all of the dishes in the sink from the day before. We have this agreement where I cook dinner, Ryan cleans up. There are days where I'm like, listen, you're tired. You don't want to do the dishes at night. No problem. We just had this conversation. If they're still there in the morning, it happens. When I freak out is when they're there the next night, when I'm trying to make dinner and I'm like navigating around dishes from the night before. And that's like a hard boundary for me. And we had just talked about this because he was like, oh, it's really funny that you left dishes in the sink and you hate when I do that. And I was like, fair enough. However, it's not the mornings. Like, there are mornings where I'm like, I get it. It's when it's happened like a full 24 hours. And that's a hard boundary for him that like, now we don't have to ask. But again, it is like, it takes time and it's constant work. It's constant communication, not making each other wrong. We just, at the end of the day, we don't want to hurt. I know Ryan's not intentionally doing this to piss me off. So Tom's not going to intentionally do something to make you angry, or Nina, you're not intentionally ignoring Tom. Like, you love him. You don't want to make him mad on purpose. So I think always approaching a conversation with that knowledge of being like, my partner loves me. I know he didn't do this to piss me off. Take a beat before you respond.
And the other thing is we had an expert on our podcast about a year and a half ago, and she had said, like, Brittany, you didn't marry Ryan because of his ability to do the dishes or do the laundry. That's not why you married him. You married him for what he's good at. You married him for the things that you know, that his way of being. And so for us, what it really came down to is, yeah, she didn't marry me for my ability to do dishes, but doing dishes is part of being an adult. Mm-hmm. Having a clean house is part of being an adult, and doing adult things sometimes I'm not good at. But what it really came down to, and it's hard because when I find that when you ask your partner for things that are in your brain, you feel like you're nagging them a little bit.
Or like condescending.
And you're hesitant. And you're hesitant to do that because you're like, I don't really want to talk down to my partner. But the reality of it is you want to be happy. You want to be satisfied. You want to be fulfilled. And if there's something going on in your head and you're not telling your partner, what you're really doing is you're setting them up to fail in your world. And ultimately, at the end of the day, knowing that your happiness depends on you, get that stuff out of your head, get it into communication, have your partner be completely aware of it, and then have a discussion as to whether or not they can actually fulfill on your needs, wants, and desires. They might not be able to.
And that's a whole other discussion. Like, if they're choosing not to do that, then...
Like, Brittany might say, Ryan, can you do the laundry? And I could say, Brittany, I don't. I've got a meeting here, 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 and here. And then I'm meeting someone over there. I can do it, but I can't do it tonight. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to be okay with me doing it tomorrow, or you're going to have to do it. But it's being in communication. It's having these conversations. And honestly, it really comes down to respect and love. As long as I know that Brittany continues to respect and love me, I'll do anything and everything for her. It just might not work on her timeline.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's all it comes down to.
That's a big one, the timeline thing. I have this issue personally with my kids, with Tom. It's like when you have it in your head, you want everyone else to be on your timeline. Like, mm-hmm. get your fucking shoes on for my kids. But really, like, what you need to do is connect with the mm-hmm. person before you expect them to do something. And that goes for kids, that goes for marriages. And if someone doesn't feel connected to you, they're less likely going to feel like they should do something for you.
Right. Yeah, and there's another thing. Someone said this, and it's controversial, but don't fight over things that you can pay for.
Yeah,
right.
It's true.
Don't fight over things you can pay for. Now, to be very clear in saying that, now we're like, well, I can't hire a cleaning lady. Well, maybe you can't, but you could. And don't fight over it. Like, if you're gonna fight over the house, the fact that the house is messy, maybe you look and you say, okay, let's back up. Let's have a budget conversation. Maybe we don't go out for dinner. Maybe we don't do this. Maybe we do hire someone who comes in once a month or once every other week and cleans the house.
We struggle with this.
We do struggle with this.
Because Ryan doesn't clean.
But the idea is, if there's something that you can pay someone else to do, you shouldn't be fighting about that. What you've got is an ineffective system. You might not have the budget to support it, but now you can work towards creating a budget to support it.
But hold on. Like, specifically for cleaning, I don't necessarily agree with that, because as much as I want a house, like, I want some help with the house, I also feel like it makes me nervous because I have to like pre-clean. And then I'm like, I actually don't have time and that's on me. Cause yeah. I'm like, I have to organize my house. My house isn't organized enough to be clean. So I need it to be organized before we like, there's a difference.
You know I mean? There's a difference between tidying up and cleaning. And cleaning requires a lot of effort. It requires hours to make sure that you're dusting and you're cleaning the floor and you're vacuuming and all that stuff. You can keep the house tidy, but to get a deep cleaning on your house, that is a commitment. Do I have the time to do that? Does Brittany have the time to do that? Yes, no, maybe so. If the answer is no, no, and no, what can we do to bring that into the house so that we're not fighting about it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that might look like bringing in help. You can.
Or a schedule. Like, I don't want it to sound super pompous, because it does sound that way. If you're like, yeah, that's like hire somebody to do it for you. That's not an option for a lot of people.
No, it's not.
So maybe that looks like Ryan said, a schedule, right? Like, okay, Saturday mornings, we're going to wash the floor. You're going to throw a load of laundry in. There just needs to be
community. It's just a commitment around it. So if you don't have the normal schedule, okay, let's set aside the time to do this collectively as a team and let's make it happen. Or let's put together a plan to see how we can get someone else. It doesn't, all we're getting at is if it can be paid for, whether you can afford it or not afford it, then there's a plan to structure around it. You got to work towards something, because always fighting about the same thing doesn't work for anybody. And if neither of you are capable of doing it, then you have an inefficient structure. That's the time to have a sit down conversation. And instead of making people wrong about what it is, it's like, what can we do to put in, or what can we put in that would allow this to happen? Whether that's outside help or inside help, there needs to be a structure, because that structure's missing here.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing I've taken away from this is asking for help and making your needs known is crucial for any relationship, but especially when you're working together and have so many different hats that you're wearing. So thank you for that. Wow, Ryan, you are just so wise. All your words. Wise.
Oh, thanks.
You are just like a wise man over there.
Shucks.
I cannot remember how you said it exactly, but it was right when we started this round where you were like, there are three things that there are three things that can make you upset.
There's only three reasons why you get upset.
Oh my God, that is genius. I cannot wait to make that a clip.
Like, so one and two are the same.
No. What are wanting something and expecting something are not the same.
Maybe. A little blendy.
No, they all blend together. Anyways.
Great question. Great question.
Ryan and Brittany, thank you guys so much for coming.
Our absolute pleasure.
Thanks for having
to
us.
To talk to us. I'm excited to put some of this stuff in practice, and you know, I'll probably still bitch about some things to Brittany.
It's normal.
Right?
Having someone you can bitch to is important too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where can we find you guys on social?
You can find us over on the old Instagram at The Laughing Couple. Find me on TikTok at Brit Ostafy or Bostafy. On Instagram, Ryan's on both of those channels. He blends in there, here and there. Or you can listen to our podcast.
Yeah, you guys, Britt, you're almost at 1 million on TikTok. I noticed.
Ryan said that to me the other day. I was like, I can't go over there for a while. Holy I had shit. A video go viral, and it was
1 million.
I know. Wow.
That's amazing. Congratulations on all your guys' success. Seriously, you're such an inspiration.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys. Good luck on the journey. Good luck on the new business. And you guys are killing it. So thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As always, if you enjoyed this episode, make sure you leave a review, subscribe to my podcast on all podcast platforms, follow me on socials, and of course, come back next week.